This morning we continue our reading through the Old Testament. Last week we read the story of God sending quail and manna to the people of Israel as they wandered in the desert. We're jumping ahead now. The people of Israel have entered the promised land, and we are going to now hear the call story of Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges, kind of the military rulers that rose up in Israel. And Samuel is kind of the first great prophet. And again, this morning we hear Samuel's call story. So from the third chapter of 1 Samuel, we read, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And at that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Lie down again.' So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then, finally, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Word of God, word of life. Well, hearing this story of Samuel's call kind of reminded me of my own call into ordained ministry. In much the same way that God came and said, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," likewise, God came to me and called, "Jim, Jim." And I said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Completely untrue. Nothing in that is true. But there are some similarities between Samuel's call and my call. And like Samuel, I was blessed to have an older, more wiser person of faith who helped me discern my call. So Eli was this old priest who was on his way out, and he was the one who helped Samuel figure out, finally, who it is was calling. My Eli was Pastor Welkert. He was the visitation pastor at Luther Memorial back in the day when I was a high schooler then. Actually, I think my call story kind of began a little bit before I met Pastor Welkert. I think it began in confirmation. I was one of those weird kids who like confirmation. Pastor Heather and I share that in common, which most pastors do, but most of you don't, and I apologize to you confirmation students that I've had or will have. I like it so much, I just assume you guys do too. But I realize that's kind of an oddity, but I liked not only being with my friends, it was a great community of support, but I just really loved all the learning. And so I think I think even way back in confirmation, I had a hint that maybe God was doing something in my life. But it never really went beyond maybe a mere thought in my head until after my senior year in high school. That summer after I graduated, our church youth group went to a church camp in South Dakota, Outlaw Ranch, which I think about now is really a bad name for a church camp, but I didn't name the place, I just went there. But we had a great week. I'd never been to camp before, so it was a totally new experience. All my friends from church went, there were some other churches there. I remember we studied the book of 1 John that week, and it was that week that I discovered what is still probably my favorite Bible verse. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. But what I remember, when we came back from that trip, the next Sunday or maybe the next Sunday, those of us who went on the trip were invited to come to the adult Bible study, which at Lutheran Memorial was a big deal. I mean, the fellowship hall was always just packed with people. And so we kind of presented, three or four of us went up front and kind of presented, talked about camp. But I don't remember anything about that presentation except for this one guy who raised his hands and he asked, "So what were the facilities like?" I said, "Well, you know, we stayed in these kind of bunk houses and it was kind of built like a fort and there was a dining hall." And he said, "Yeah, but what were the facilities like?" And it's like, I just told you that. And then he finally realized that I didn't understand. So he goes, "Were there toilets or outhouses?" There were outhouses, I recall. But anyway, after that presentation, I remember exactly where I was. I was walking down the hallway, up three steps, over into the youth room. I think I was right on those steps when I heard a voice. "Jim, Jim." Actually, I think he just said Jim once, but it was Pastor Welkert. And he called my name, and I stopped and turned around, and he came up, and he thanked me for being part of the presentation. And then he said, "I think you should consider being a pastor." He was the first person, I think, who ever put that in words for me. And I wish I could say at that moment, I said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But I didn't. I was more like Samuel, where God needed to call a couple more times. In fact, I started college then, that next fall, but I went to UNO, and this is a true story, and I apologize, I told this Wednesday. I started at UNO with a business major with two career goals: make a lot of money and not work on weekends. I am not kidding. That was my goal starting college. Don't think God has a sense of humor. But it was during that year at UNO when I went back and helped teach confirmation at Luther Memorial that I decided finally to stop resisting the call. And so I transferred to Midland and started a philosophy and religion major. And the rest is history. I have been a pastor now for 31 years, which seems absolutely impossible. And here is a fun fact, and this is totally true. 16 years ago today, October 17th, was my first day here at Holy Cross. What is that for a coinkidink? I do not have a great story about my call process here at Holy Cross. It was very smooth, much like the one at St. Timothy's, where Jerry was the council president. Andy Muller was the council president when I was called here. I do have a great call story about my very first call, which I'll just tell you a little bit about because it's so good. So we're at seminary still, and I get this call, and it's the chair of the call committee at the church I ended up at. But his first three questions to me in our very first phone conversation were these: how tall are you? Do you have a beard? And do you drink? And I think he was only happy with one of my answers. But I digress. I did end up there, and I had a great 5 years there. And I had a wonderful 10 years at Holy Cross. No, this is Holy Cross. At St. Timothy's. I'm getting back, because I always used to call this place St. Timothy's, so now it's reversed. Great 10 years at St. Tim's, and now 16 years here with all of you. Being the pastor here at Holy Cross has been one of the greatest joys and privileges of my life. I have had the privilege and the honor of being with many of you in some of the most meaningful times of your lives. I have been with some of you in hospitals when loved ones have died. I've been able to come to the hospital with some of you after your children were born. We've gathered in this space for baptisms and weddings and funerals. We've reached out to our neighborhood with block parties and trunk or treat and living nativities. We've just had fun together with chili cookouts and beer brats and Reformation bashes, hayrack rides. We've studied and we've learned together. And week after week, we've gathered here in this sacred space to hear God's word, to share in the supper of Christ, to sing and to pray, to be reminded again and again that God loves us. But I am not the only one who has been called to Holy Cross. I'm not talking about Pastor Heather or other former pastors. I'm talking about all of you. Now, none of you went through a formal call process like I did. And yet, I would contend that God called you to be a member of this place. Now, maybe you've never thought of it that way. Maybe you don't think about your membership, your participation here at Holy Cross as a calling from God. Maybe you think this is just the church you decided to attend. And if that's the case, I want to invite you to rethink that a little bit. In our reading this morning, that the second line I find so fascinating, it said, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread." Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you have a hard time hearing God talk to you? Do you feel like you don't get visions from God? Well, if that's the case, let me try to serve as your Eli a little bit this morning and reassure you that God is calling each of you. God is calling each of you to do so many things, to be so many different things. For some of you, God is calling you to be a parent. For some of you, God is calling you to be a caretaker for your parent. God has called some of you to be teachers, some of you to be nurses, some of you even to be lawyers, believe it or not. Sorry, Jim. It's just so easy and so much fun. I hope, wait a minute. Trevor's here too. Ha ha, Trevor. Anyway. But God has called us and gathered us here also. As a community of faith, it's a call that God has given us, has given you. And if you don't understand it that way, again, I want you to rethink that a little bit. You see, God has called us together first and foremost because none of us can be a faithful Christian by ourselves. It takes a community. It takes fellow siblings of Christ to gather around us and encourage us and support us and challenge us and care for us. But not only that, God also calls us together because there are some things we can't do as individuals. I know, and once again, I don't know. I get glimpses of all the ways that you live out your faith in your daily lives. I love hearing those stories. But there are some things you just can't do as individuals, and so God calls us together to be in this place, and if God hadn't done that, we would not have a food pantry that literally serves hundreds of people a month, thousands of people a year. If God had not called us together, our children and grandchildren wouldn't have Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers and youth group leaders to remind them and show them that they are loved, that they are special, that they are wonderful children of God. I know that for many of you, some of your most meaningful life experiences have taken place in this community. God is truly at work here. And we are living in a time when the world and probably us need to be reminded of that. So that's why I want to encourage you to think not of your participation here at Holy Cross as something that you just choose to do because, you know, it gets you certain things, but instead to reframe that as God's call, one of God's calls in your life, to be a part of this place, to use your time and your talents and your treasures so that the world may know of God's love, and so that we as a community of faith can love and care and support one another in all the difficulties that life throws at us, and a place to come and to celebrate all the wonderful things that God does for us and for this world. I am so thankful that each of you have been called here. And I cannot wait to see how God continues to use this congregation and each of us as individuals to further God's kingdom and for us to experience the joy and the privilege of being called by God. Amen.